several people filing in, I will ask if we can all go ahead and grab our seats here. We're a couple minutes past already. Wanted to give a few more folks a chance to show up before we got going. But I would like to welcome everybody back out to our afternoon period of worship. Did not receive any updates from this morning, but there are a few things to quickly run through. We do have Debbie back with us this afternoon. We are glad to see her out. We also have Christina Johnson here with us as well. It's good to have her with us. As far as members out of town, Tim and Janet took off this afternoon. Tim told me they will be out through next Sunday out in Arkansas visiting with family, so we will want to remember them. Martin Evans was working this morning. I don't see him with us this afternoon. So I assume he is still at work. Okay. Tony does have the Wednesday invitation. We will be meeting on Wednesday at 7 if you are in the area. We would encourage you to join with us at that time. As far as the order of worship goes today, Mark Kaysen was listed for the opening prayer. Jesse will be handling the communion if there are any who need to partake at that time. Dave is our song leader. You'll see he has selected 522 as his first selection. Go ahead and turn to that if you're not there already. Chuck will be preaching for us this afternoon. Keith was listed for the closing prayer at that time. If there's anything else that needs to be brought up, we can do so at the end of the service today. Otherwise, I will turn things over to Dave.
I'll turn to hymn number 522.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war.
Charity, onward, Christian soul.
innocent will remain. Gates of hell can never in that church prevail. We have Christ's own promise, and that cannot fail. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Onward then, ye people, join our happy throng, blend with our sure voices in the triumph song. Glory, love, and honor unto Christ the King. This through countless ages, men and angels sing. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before.
Our next hymn will turn to hymn number 802. Number 802. After this song, we'll have our opening prayer. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes are rather sore. He has loosed the faithful lining of his terrible sword. His truth is marching on. Allow us to come out this afternoon and to lift up our voices in praise to you, Father, and to hear your word proclaimed. Father, we pray that we might all be united in this place in our desire to serve you first and to take the gospel to as many people as we can in the time that you've given us. We pray, Father, that you might help us to always be mindful of the price that you paid to redeem us from sin, and that we might always be humbled by that, Father, knowing that the best part of heaven you were willing to send down here to be mistreated, treated cruelly, and in a cruel way put to death upon an old rugged cross. Those of us who were your enemies through sin could be once again reconciled unto you through obedience to the gospel. Help us, Father, to not grow weary in well-doing. Help us to realize that we must be patient and that we must live each day that you have allotted us in a purposeful way, doing those things that you have taught us to do, taking care of our families and providing for ourselves and trying to help those that we can in serving you, Father. We ask, Father, that you be with those of our number who are sick or recovering from illnesses. And Father, those who we know of are dealing with terrible diseases, some life-threatening. Father, we know that man is limited in his ability, and we know that you are unlimited. And Father, we humbly place our petition at your feet that you might bless those that are sick and in need. We pray, Father, that we might always be mindful that we are here for a brief time. And help us, Father, not to make this our heaven, but to keep our eyes fixed upon you and Christ in that eternal place that you have promised your children. Father, we ask that you be with us in other parts of this worship service this night. Help us, Father, that we give diligence to studying your words, that we continue to read it and ponder it in our hearts, we might not be pulled away by our own desires or what we see other people around us doing. Help us, Father, to stay fixed on your word always in every decision that we make and every action we take. Help us, Father, that we have spent the necessary time in studying your word and knowing what your desire is for us. And Father, may it always be our heart's desire to serve you first above all things. Now we ask you, please look down upon us in tender mercy. Please forgive us, Father, we have failed you. Help us to repent of the things that we have done wrong. Help us, Father, to live a life in pursuit of excellence, that you might be pleased with us and you might save us in the end. We ask this in Jesus' dear name. Amen.
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 Was there any here this evening that didn't get to protect the emblems, but you know at this time? Okay. Turn to hymn number 621. Number 621.
Jesus in the garden where he prayed. They led him through the streets in shame. They spat upon the Savior, so pure and free from sin. They said, crucify him, he's to blame.
He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. Above his precious head, they placed a crown of thorns. They left and said, behold the King. They struck him and they cursed him and mocked his holy name. All alone he suffered everything. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free.
Then the
Take this evening. Let's give thanks for the bread. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you at this time for this bread and the emblem that represents the body of your Son Jesus that was broken on the cross. We pray that those who partake of this evening do so in a manner that's well unto you. Be at this at this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Anyone else? Let's give thanks for the cup. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this cup and the sacrifice of your Son Jesus and the blood that was shed for on our behalf. We pray that we are living our lives as a living sacrifice to you, and we pray that we do the best we can. We pray that you would be with those who partake as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
The offering plate will remain at the table for those that would like to give after services.
Song for today's message, let's all turn to hymn number 557, number 557.
Rock of ages, clap for me, let me hide myself in thee, let the water and the blood from the of sin the double cure, cleanse me from the guilt and pain. Not the labor of my hands can fulfill the Lord's demands. Could my guilt no rest by no? Could my tears forever flow?
Open up your Bibles to 1 John. We're going to be looking at a text there in 1 John chapter 2 in just a few moments. Welcome everyone out tonight. Part 2 of the lesson that I started this morning, although they're separate lessons in and of themselves, you didn't really have to know the morning lesson to know tonight. But this morning we focused on the Sermon on the Mount. The first thing that Jesus taught was, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see the kingdom of heaven. The poor in spirit. We talked about what does it mean to be poor in spirit. And look at the positives there. That, you know, that's the kind of attitude that we need to have. We need to be just clothed with humility. We need to put others before ourselves. We need to say to ourselves, why me, Lord? And just simply do what he asked us to do. Tonight is the flip side of that. And really, what is the flip side of being the poor in spirit? What's the opposite of that? Well, over in 1 John, the second chapter, notice verse 15. He says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. You know, for a person that does not want to be poor in spirit and do the thing that is expected of them, what gets in the way, of course, is just simply being full of pride. And he described here, the pride of life is, it's of the world. It's going to destroy us. All the sins that you can imagine that exist today, that has ever existed, can be summed up in that verse 16. And it's the lust of the flesh. You know, and you think of all the immorality that's out there and all the drug abuse that's out there. Everything that wants to satisfy the flesh exists. The lust of the eye, everything that we want, that we see out there that we want to have. And, of course, he puts right in with that category the pride of life. And to think that we could lose our salvation over pride, well, of course, because there's no way we're going to save the kingdom of heaven if we're not a poor in spirit person. That's why we started off by saying, are you poor in spirit? Not poor in spirit. You're just not going to make it. It's a quality that our Lord set forth as a foundational point before he went on with that whole Sermon on the Mount, with all those wonderful teachings. Well, it's just not going to work. We're not going to do those things if we don't have the right attitude. So we think about the dangers of pride. Thinking about turmoil in the workplace. If a person is full of pride, I've heard some stories recently about what can happen in the workplace when somebody is puffed up and they think that that everything surrounds them. Husbands and wives are divided. They may live under the same roof, but being far apart from one another, it could be due to pride. Churches being destroyed for lack of unity, and that's what provoked this sermon. Brethren that I love dearly in other places. And unfortunately, just chaos within that congregation. And it just, and you know, hearing the brethren on both sides and hearing the hurt that's going on. And when you hear about things like that, you think about home. And I think about my own family here. I think about the church family here. And the last thing that we would ever want to happen is for this congregation to be destroyed, to have division among ourselves. See, well, Chuck, well, how do we prevent that from happening? Be poor in spirit and make sure that we are aware of signs of pride creeping up in our lives. We do not want it to happen, and that's what this lesson is all about. We can't ignore the dangers of pride in our lives. It can cost us our salvation. Let's look at some fundamentals before we're going to look at about four or five points tonight. I think more specifically four. But let's go over to the book of Proverbs because you know it's full of wisdom there that talks about the problems that surround the pride, okay, and a person being puffed up. And so let's go to the 11th chapter of Proverbs and let's just progress through the book and look at a number of verses. He mentions there in verse 2 of chapter 11, when pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom. And of course, again, that's the opposite of what we talked a little bit this morning. You go to the 16th chapter, quickly, over to the 16th chapter, and he mentions in verse 18, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. I mean, he just comes out and talks about why it is so wrong, and that haughty spirit and the pride goes before destruction. That's exactly what's going to happen. If it creeps up in our lives, I'm going to tell you, and we ignore it, of course problems are going to happen, whether it's at the workplace, whether it's with family, whether it's within the body of Christ. And I'm preaching this sermon to myself because I'm going to be getting, I was telling some brethren some of the points I was talking about yesterday, and I was getting worked up. I was getting worked up just telling them about the point. And one of the points I'm getting worked up about is going to be preaching against me. I want you to be aware of that. Because when I hear these kind of things going on to people that just seemingly just want to go to heaven and they want to serve the Lord, and that's me. I just want to go to heaven, but I don't want to ever be guilty of creating factions within the body of Christ, of tearing you down spiritually, wanting to build you up. And I don't want any of us to be guilty of that. You know, Jesus even warned about that, didn't he? If you cause one to stumble, better a millstone were hung around your neck and cast into the river. You know, we need to think about the effect that we have on each other here. And, of course, you can think about it beyond those realms within family. Look at the 29th chapter, last one in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 29, he tells us again in verse 23, a man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. And we talked about this morning about poor in spirit, how that you love that quality. You know you love that quality. You've seen it. That's what attracted you to your mate. I know what doesn't attract you to somebody's when somebody, as I illustrated this morning, when it says that, wow, this is your lucky day. You get to take me on a date. Yeah, because, you know, I'm so special. I'm so wonderful. That just turns you off. But a person who's the opposite of that, that you like. Go to the New Testament. I quoted this morning at the close of our sermon. It was the Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. Not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. That's the danger within all of this. And then, of course, you have over in 1 Timothy chapter 3, last text before we go into our points. 1 Timothy, he tells us in chapter 3 and in verse 6 is what we're going to read. 1 Timothy 3 and in verse 6, when he was talking about elders. Remember, I told you I'm going to talk about myself? Well, that's not till point number 4. We haven't started number 1 yet. We're still in the introduction, so we're good. So, but when he talked about the qualifications of a bishop, of an elder here, he mentions, for example, look at verse 5. If a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation of the devil. Now, I'll have more to say about that a little bit later. But pride, I mean, it can just destroy us. It can get the better of us, folks. And it's something that we need to make sure that we pray about in our lives. And, you know, as I said this morning, you know, do you describe yourself as a person being poor in spirit? No. Well, then you need to be. That's what we want. And a person that is not full of pride. So, what are some signs? Now, the list can be a long list. I remember preaching on this subject in times past. But tonight, I'm just going to look at 4. What are some signs? The Chuck might have a problem. You might have a problem with pride. We want to make sure that that doesn't happen. Well, one of the first things that we're going to notice, and we're going to go back to the Old Testament as an illustration, go back to 1 Samuel. You guys will know as soon as we get there. Oh, yes, I know what you're going to be talking about here, Chuck. This was the beginning of the end for Saul. I'll read the text, and then we're going to go ahead and talk about the point. So 1 Samuel chapter 18, pick it up in verse 7. David recently killed Goliath. And, of course, everybody's happy about that. And in verse 7, so the women sang as they danced and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000. Then Saul was very angry and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed to David 10,000, and to me they've ascribed only 1,000. And what more can he have but the kingdom? So Saul eyed David from that day forward. I'll tell you, folks, it's a simple point. To have a problem with pride is not being able to handle the praise of others. Now, what you think about that? Handling the praise of others. Ever been jealous in your life? Ever been envious in your life? Ever? Ever been in a situation where you kind of felt that? I felt that way. I'm not proud of it. There have been times that I felt that way. And say, Chuck, don't think that way. Don't feel that way. And you can see what's happening here. Not being able to deal with that. You know, you think of Romans. We talk about this Romans chapter 12, verse 15. What's 12 and 15? It talks about weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice. Well, wait a minute. Let's slow down. Think about this for a moment. What do you think it's going to take to rejoice with those that rejoice? You're going to have to acknowledge something good that a brother or sister has experienced and share that joy with them. But I tell you, you're going to struggle. If you're struggling with pride, if you're struggling with that, I can't bring myself to be happy for them. I'm actually angry. I'm actually upset. I'm jealous. I mean, why them and not me? And there's Saul. The beginning of the end was him. You know, everything's fine. And all of a sudden he hears, what? You said that about David? And this is what you said about me? This is the beginning of the end. It got the best of him. You know, some might say, well, I don't really have a problem with pride. I have a problem with jealousy. Okay, they're both wrong. Okay. But the point is, that's what he talked about over in Proverbs 6 and verse 34. You know, that jealousy is just a natural outcome of it. And to try to put a positive thing on this, a positive twist on this, it just can't work. And so I need to learn to be able to praise others, accept how other people are being praised, that it's not about me. And that was in contrast to what we studied this morning. And we could spend a lot more time on that, but there's a few other points I want to dwell a little bit more time on. But that's just a sign. That's just one of those things. And I think, brethren, one thing that we can learn about this, you say, well, Chuck, how do you get over that? Well, you pray about that and that you learn to rejoice with others. And that helps you to deal with it. Seriously, that helps you to get over it by going up and praising certain people for the things that you should praise them for. It just helps you to become stronger. But anyways, go to 1 Kings, if you would, at this time. 1 Kings chapter 12. Another example of where pride can get in the way. And I have to be mindful of this. As a teacher, as a person that wants to grow. In 1 Kings chapter 12, let's pick it up in verse 6. It says, then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who stood before his father Solomon while he still lived. And he said, how do you advise me to answer these people? And they spoke to him saying, well, if you be a servant to these people today, serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever. But he rejected the advice which the elders had given him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him, who stood before him. And he said to them, what advice do you give? How should we answer the people who have spoken to me, saying, lighten the yoke which your father put on us? Then the young men who had grown up with him spoke to him, saying, thus you should speak to the people who had spoken to you, saying, your father made our yoke heavy, but you make it lighter on us. Thus you shall say to them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's waist. And now, whereas my father put a heavy yoke on you, I will add to your yoke. My father chastened you with whips, I will chasten you with scourging. Who does this? Who doesn't do the right thing? Who doesn't take good advice? Who doesn't take good constructive criticism? Who doesn't take somebody who's really interested in wanting to point us in the right direction? A person full of pride. I'm not listening to you. I'm not listening to you. I'm going to listen to these people over here, these younger people, these people that I've grown up with, these people that I might consider my friends. But my point is, pride gets in the way of proper thinking. And even for us today. You know, and I think when Paul advised the people in the first century, you know, I wish that all men were I. He said, it's not a command. But he said, because of the present distress, I wish everybody were like me. He meant not married. It was just advice. if somebody wanted to get married, you think he was going to call him a sinner? No, not a sinner. But you know, there are times when you can give advice to people and help them, encourage them. You know, righteous judgment. There are things that we do all the time. You know, especially as elders, and you know, we think about this building that we're putting together. I mean, how much of that could we give you a book, chapter, and verse? Okay, Jeff, for the square footage of the auditorium, can you give me a verse for that?
Wait a second. It's here somewhere.
No, it's not there. How many classrooms you gonna have? Wait a second. Judgment call. And so there are just certain things that you're going to do that you know, and so when you're working with people and giving advice to people and trying to help them. But you know, for you and I, even within the Word of God, giving people the proper guidance, and that's what we're talking about. I want to bring that point in. The things that you and I try to help people with has to do with truth. And if we can't accept that, it's because of pride. Can you handle? I know it's a cliche from a movie, but can you handle the truth? No, I mean seriously, folks. Can you handle the truth if it's in your best interest? And it's a way that you haven't been going. It's a way that you haven't been thinking. And somebody's trying to correct you by saying, "Have you thought about doing this instead?" Or recognize your error in this. That's a hard pill to swallow. It really is. Turn to Galatians chapter 6. And I got thinking about this and putting this lesson together this week. When I think about that, Galatians chapter 6, and he talks about verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burden. Yeah, that's pretty hard to do, isn't it? Well, nobody says anything. Well, I got my pride. I've got my pride. You know, I think about, you know, when James talked about that in the fifth chapter, you know, confess your faults one to another. I'm not doing that. It's a sign of weakness. Burden? No. No, I'm there for you, but I don't want you to be there for me. And so when I think of how pride can surface in our lives and in my life, I need to be careful. You know, I may be struggling with something, but I just don't want to ask for help. Brethren, reach out to one another. That's what the family of God is all about. We stress that so many times. And the Bible talks about it. Go over there and read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and talk about the body there and how that they're all members, but they're all important. What member is more important than another here? None. Every one of us here are important. And so we want to be there for each other. And I'm thinking, well, if I'm going to bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ, is I'm there for you. I'm not going to let pride get in the way of either helping or receiving help. That's the key. And I need to understand that if I'm going to be effective in serving others and helping others get to heaven. Okay. As we move on, go to 1 Samuel 15. Another Old Testament passage. First Samuel, Old Testament. While you're turning there, I'll just remind you of a familiar story that we have talked about before and studied. Cain. Here it is. One of the biggies. Can't admit when I'm wrong. I can't admit when I'm wrong. I'm wrong. Well, that's hard. Cain had a problem with that. Just, where's your brother? Am I my brother's keeper? I asked you where your brother is. Killed your brother. But you're not going to admit that to me. To God? What's up with that? Now, it reminds me of this passage, and I tell you, this is where, you talk about pride, man. Here's a classic example of it. And it actually goes on. And so I'll read a little bit more than I was planning on. Look at verse 13, first of all. Verse 13. Now, of course, Saul, go in there. Destroy the city, but don't bring anything back. You guys know this story, and it's great. He says, then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, "Blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord." Isn't that great? You've come here tonight. Don't you like to think that you worship God
acceptably tonight? That you're faithful to God when you leave here? If something were to happen to you on your way home, God forbid that it would happen, that you're ready. I'm ready to meet my Maker, to have that kind of confidence. Here's the confidence, same confidence here. Now, I hope you're right, but I just want you to understand that sometimes we can deceive ourselves because of pride. Pride says, I'm okay. Don't worry about me, Chuck. Don't worry about me. I'm fine. Here we have Samuel being told, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. But here's what Samuel says. Samuel says, what then is the bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowering of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, well, they have brought them from the Amalekites, where the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said to Saul, be quiet, and I'll tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And he said to him, speak on. So Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not the head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? Wow, that just tells it like it is. Here we go. Pride's gone now. You're caught. Let's just come out with it. Verse 20. Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. What are you doing? Well, I'm covering my tracks here. Pride says, I'm not going to tell you I did anything wrong. I did not do anything wrong. And I'll tell you, folks, that'll kill us. That'll destroy relationships, husbands and wives. Brethren, the local congregation. When somebody is, when you get to the point where you're just unwilling to admit when you've done something wrong. Who's perfect here? Jesus had to deal with that when they caught the woman in the very act of adultery. How was he going to deal with that? Jesus said, he was without sin, cast the first stone. I don't stand before you perfect. Okay? Say, well, Chuck, well, what's the difference between you sin, and the sinners that are out there? Huge difference, and we talked about it in our Bible class this morning. You know, if I go next door to help my neighbor shovel his driveway, if I do that once in a while, I'm not his slave. I'm not his slave. If I sin once in a while and I tell God that I'm sorry and I return away from it, I'm not a slave to sin. Now, a slave to sin is somebody who abides in iniquity and doesn't repent of it. Huge difference. Huge difference. So, yeah, I tell you that I'm not perfect. But I'll tell you this much. If I'm a slave to sin, you better get me out of this pulpit. You better get me out of this pulpit. You want to be a slave to sin? That's unrepentant sin in your life. And so, what we're talking about here is the willingness that we have to admit that we've done something wrong. You want to notice where it goes too far? Go to Matthew chapter 18. Here's where it gets out of hand. You think it could be nipped? It could be. The Lord has a plan in place. So in Matthew chapter 18, verse 15, he says, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained a brother. There it is. You've nipped it. No problem. Don't let pride get out of hand here. Tell your brother, tell your sister, you're right, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that, let's move on. But what happened? Well, he says, here's what could happen. Verse 16, but if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two witnesses, every word may be established. Well, if that doesn't work? Well, if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses to hear the church, let him be to you as a heathen and a tax collector. You go through the process here of hoping that people will admit when they're wrong. Now, it's hard. It's hard. And trying to get people to admit when they're wrong, I might try to get people to do that, but trying to do that out of love and compassion. Trying to help them. And so when I think of, even in the family situation, a husband or a wife who is willing to admit when they're wrong is just going to make that marriage stronger. You know, they say, I'm no doctor, but they'll say, you know, you break that arm, where it heals, it's stronger.
I don't know if this is true. I might have to ask Ellen afterward. But if you break your arm again, it's probably next to that spot. I don't know if you can actually break that same spot again. But the point is, the healing process makes it stronger. It works with families. It works with relationships. It works with brothers and sisters. And that's what we need here. We need a strong bond. Good. I got plenty of time for this last one. I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And I'm sitting right up here on the front row, and I'm going to blast myself. I'm going to raise my voice. You can say, Chuck must be helpful. He's getting back. He's got his voice. Yes, I'm going to raise my voice at myself here. Because churches that divide, it's real. It's happening as I speak. There are brethren that are dividing. There are churches that are being destroyed. Satan is getting his foot in there because people are letting pride ruin their lives. And I can see how it can happen. What's this next point? Here it is. Get this. You know when this surfaces? Is when a person allows his position to go to his head. Did you hear me? When a person allows his position to go to his head. I've heard about it in the workforce. Person gets promoted to something. Personality changes. Walks around like he's the king of the world. Nobody can stand to talk to the person. He's arrogant. He's full of himself. Because I'm your superior. I'm somebody special. You get this, preachers. You better listen up. Elders. Deacons. Teachers. What do you think, Chuck? You're once a preacher, always a preacher? No, you can become unqualified. You start preaching in such a way you're doing damage to this congregation. Hope you don't have pride in the way. Step down quick. You can become unqualified. You think you're once an elder, always an elder? You know, there are people who tell me, you know what, I wanted my whole life to be an elder. That's what I spent my whole life to be, and I'm not an elder. I really want to be an elder. What? What are you doing? That's not what it's all about. The poor and spare? You know, I can become unqualified as an elder. You can become unqualified as a deacon. You know, you don't let pride get in the way and say, you know what, I can't do this anymore. And that's exactly what he's talking about over here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. I don't want to get to the point where I'm going to do harm to a church. I just don't want to do it. And he says in verse 1, the elders who are among you, I exhort who am a fellow elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Be an example to them. Just like Christ was. Christ came, we read Philippians chapter 2, he came clothed with humility. I tell you what, people that become an elder and all of a sudden their attitude changes, walk around like they're just something else, and I'm ruling with an iron fist, and don't you dare, I can't even begin to tell you how many churches recently that I'm familiar with where the elders had let them know, you don't need to know anything. It's none of your business. We're elders. We'll take care of everything. Leave everybody in the dark. No communication. People are intimidated to go talk to them. If that's what happens, this church will be destroyed. This church will not last. There's no place for that. There's no place for the person to be full of soul, full of pride, that arrogance, that the position has gone to their head. It can happen with a songbird. It can happen with a songbird. You see? I am the song leader. Nobody else is going to lead songs. That's just the way it is. Because I'm best. I'm the best. You know I'm not talking about me. Especially song. But this attitude that we're talking about here, folks, is nothing new. You know, go to 3 John. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Verse 9, 3 John. This is why the poor in spirit is so much.
a part of our lives, that we do things, and we do things behind the scenes, and people don't even know what you do. And I know there's things that you guys do. Man, I could stand up here all night and talk about, hey, I know what so-and-so did for so-and-so. I know so-and-so had somebody over. I know somebody sent this to sister so-and-so. I know brother so-and-so did this for so-and-so. There's things that are going on behind the scenes that nobody even knows about here. And guess what? That's a good thing. That's a good thing. And so when he talks about over here in 3 John, he says, I wrote to the church by Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them. He doesn't receive us. Can you imagine that? Within the church. John says, therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words. Not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren, forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Who do you think you are? I'll tell you who he is. He's somebody who thinks he's better than the rest. There is equality within this congregation. We better get that. Ladies too. Brothers and sisters, there is equality within this church. We're all one in Christ. Now, there are different duties. Okay? Different duties, different responsibilities. But one is not better than somebody else. Now, brethren have taken this recently in articles that I've read, even on the internet, are trying to get women do. Can a woman be a preacher? No, she's to keep silent within the church. Can she be an elder? Of course not. Elders are to be the husband of one wife. Well, can she be a deacon? No, deacons are to be the husband of one wife too. See, you can't go against the Word of God. But see, those verses and those offices, those functions within the local church does not diminish the importance of the equality within the church. Do we get that? Well, it's equality there. It's there. It's there. There's equality within our household. Well, I thought you were the head. Yeah, but she can do stuff I can't do. And I didn't give birth. Okay? Doesn't make her better than me. Doesn't make her better than me. Doesn't make me less than her. But the point, there's differences. And God has organized the church, set it up. Christ is the head. We're the body. And we all function. And this church will not survive if we forget our place. What are we doing on time? Quickly turning your Bibles to John 13. I made reference to this in the sermon this morning. John 13. We'll pick it up. Verse 3. What's he say? He says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? And Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not only my feet, but my hands and my head. Okay, now you're going overboard. But the point is, Peter, you need to learn. You're not washing my feet. Who says something like that? Person full of pride. Oh, no, I see that as humility. Isn't that humility? You're not washing my feet. No, that's pride. No, you're not taking me to church. I'll take you. I'll pick you up for a ride, but you're not picking me up. Kind of simple. Pride getting in the way. Thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to. Brethren, I don't ever want to do that. I don't ever want to do that. And that's why we need to all be learning this disposition of being poor in spirit and the opposite of that and the damage that can come from it. We witness it in the workplace. We witness it. We've seen it within families. And I'll tell you, within the body of Christ. And that's what concerns me the most. That's what's provoked this sermon. Is when I see congregation and brethren and division happen. You have to understand, how does that happen? And it's because of the very things that we talked about tonight. And so I hope that we've learned some things this evening. I know I have. I needed to be reminded of them. You know, you're not clothed with humility by going around telling everybody I'm humble. Seriously, I'm sitting here thinking, how do I get across to the brethren here that I'm clothed with humility? Do I go ahead and tell them, you know, I'm a very humble person? No, John, that doesn't do it. So what do? You live it. Let your light shine before men, so they can see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The things that you do are not trying to draw attention to yourself, but you simply draw attention to the Lord, that you're here to serve Him. It's all about Him. Humble ourselves, not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. And so this all ties in perfectly with an invitation. You say, how does it tie in, Chuck? Well, because are we going to allow pride to get in the way of what we need to do to please the Lord? Are we going to pull a Saul? Are we going to pull a Saul and say, I have obeyed the Lord? You have. Well, when did you obey the gospel? You need to obey the gospel. You need to have been born again. If you haven't been born again, you're not serving the Lord. You're not in His family. You don't let pride get in the way. Don't sit there and say, well, I'm okay. Look, if we haven't obeyed, and that's what he says, the Thessalonian brother, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and on those that have not obeyed the gospel. You need to obey the gospel, folks. Put on Christ in baptism, meeting the prerequisites of believing in Him, repenting of your sins, of that old life, confess your faith in Him. But to repent is to turn and follow Christ. And then you're added to the body of Christ when you rise up in newness of life. What about a child of God that's got unrepented sin? Don't let pride get in the way. I'm okay. It's not a game. You can fool me. I can fool you. You can't fool the Lord. You can't. He knows where you stand. He knows your condition right now, folks. And so the question is, are you going to leave here prepared or unprepared? Your child of God that's faithful, continue on, folks. Remain faithful till the end, Revelation 2:10. But learn the lessons that we have tonight, because the devil is doing all that he can. He wants to destroy you. Number one, he doesn't want you to become a Christian. And number two, he doesn't want you to remain a faithful Christian. His goals are simple. And I know one thing. He doesn't want unity within this church. He doesn't want us standing for the truth. He doesn't want us spreading the gospel. And guess what? We're going to continue to do it. And we're offering it to you right now. If you're subject to the invitation, let it be known. So you stand together and sing the song in hymn.
Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want Thee forever to live in my soul. Break down every idol.
Thank you.
visitors? And are there any announcements that need to be made at this time? Mark?
Yeah, we'll be traveling this next week, so we will be here Wednesday and probably another times on Sunday night.
If there's no other announcements, let's be led in our closing prayer.
Let's pray. Our dear my Father, we come to close this service thanking you so much for this time that you've allowed us to assemble here as your children, study your word, to worship you, Father. We pray that everything that we have done this evening has been pleasing in your sight, Father. We thank you so much for the ability to come together as your family, Father, to study your word. We pray, Father, that as we meditate upon the things that we have learned this night, that we will always strive to keep pride from creeping into our lives and to always serve you and one another with all humility, Father. We pray, Father, that if we do find that we have pride in our lives, that we will make it right in your sight and ask for forgiveness for that, Father. And we pray that you will always be with us as we strive to serve you. Help us to always look to you for guidance and for strength, Father. Help us to grow in love for you and your word, and also grow in love for one another, Father. Help us to grow as a family. Help us always to encourage and uplift one another and never try to tear one another down. We realize that Satan is always on the prowl. We pray, Father, that you will help us to always to be on guard and always on the lookout for ourselves and for one another. We pray, Father, that you be with us as we are about to leave this place. We pray that you be with our members who are traveling or about to be traveling during the upcoming holiday season. Pray that you will watch over them and help them to return to us safely, Father. We pray that you be with our number who are dealing with sickness and illness. And we pray that you will give them strength and help them to regain their health, Father. We ask, Father, that you go with us now as we leave this place. Forgive us when we fail. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.